And then he healed their afflictions. Time after time, all through the Gospels, we read something similar to what we read here in Matthew, where it says, "And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and put them at his feet, and he healed them." Jesus healed people. He always has, and he still does. Psalm 34, which Sharon and Kathy read earlier, is a testimony to the goodness of God, as David is exuberant in his praise. If you look at the title at the beginning of it, it says it's where David feigned mental illness with the king, that the king that he was under the care of while he was fleeing Saul. And so it's interesting that this exuberant psalm comes out of David acting crazy. And it's a powerful psalm. God, deliver us from fear as his angels encamp around us. And David fairly shouts. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." As we seek the Lord, we lack no good thing, and his eyes are ever on his people. And then we hear this promise from Psalm 34. "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles, because the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." We've experienced that lately. And then he says this, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." That's the promise. David's words are our promises, and they lead right into a familiar text on the subject of healing prayer. And so I'm going to read that to you here from James 5, verses 13 through 18. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the earth and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful. We're thankful for these words here that James gives to us. And we pray that as we apply these, as we look at them and we grow, that we would experience healing of every kind in our lives. We bless your name. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do with this, and you've heard this passage before, it's kind of a brethren in Christ passage. It's what we have in our minister's manual for healing time. And we've had it before. I preached through James a few years ago, and it was part of our teaching. We've seen it, but I love I love how we learn new things from Scripture. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with a man who has experienced a real revival in his life over the past year. And he says he's been reading the Bible over the past year. And he says he can read a couple of pages of it and then forget it. And I said, look, don't read pages, read verses and concentrate. And just pray that the Lord that the Lord speaks into your life through that. And I said I've been going through the Bible probably about 30 times, at least 30 times through the Bible. I tried to do that once a year, and I tried to do it in a different translation. And it's amazing to me, no matter how many times I've been through the Bible, I find new things. Just recently, a very, very familiar passage to me, and I can't remember what it was. It should be episodic enough that I can remember exactly what it was, but a very familiar passage to me had something new and powerful and legitimate. It wasn't my imagination, something I had literally never seen in that passage before. That's because it's new every morning. And that's why Scripture is so good, and that's why we can find something new here from James 5. And I'm going to take the main points of what James is saying here in this passage as we prepare for our time of prayer later. And the first thing is, James says, pray. Pray. Is anyone suffering? Pray. It's our first line of defense. We have the word suffering here, and it can mean physical suffering, but it's not inclusive of that. It can mean any kind of negative occurrence in a Christ follower's life. Are you suffering loss? Pray. Are you struggling to make ends meet? Pray. Suffering comes in many and varied ways, and we need to pray. Why? Paul said, pray without ceasing. We need to pray all the time. It should be part of our communication. We need to be in communication with the Lord. He knows what's happening, so our prayers don't change him. They do, however, change us, and it changes us for the good. In fact, our prayer can actually be praise. If you're cheerful, it's easy to praise. But do we remember to pray in those situations? The old adage is that there are no atheists in foxholes, and it obviously means, and I just pointed it out just a little bit ago, that when the going gets rough, it more easily comes to mind to pray, to cry out to God. Do we remember, though, to give credit where credit is due? We need to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So don't forget the praise. Our call, you notice it when something happens. 911 is a great example of this. How when 911 happened, there were so many prayer meetings after that. People that you never saw darkened the door of a church. They showed up to pray together. When COVID happened, people suddenly thought, oh, we should be praying about this. But how often do we forget to pray and praise the Lord for what he does? But we need to be sure to call. Prayer and praise are calling out to God and acknowledging his power and goodness. But this call here, this call that we are to make, is specifically to the body of Christ. Is anyone sick? Let him or her call for the elders of the church. Christ followers need each other. And so in a quick aside, let me just say that Lone Ranger Christians are cheating themselves out of the power of numbers. We need each other. Staying home and worship or going fishing because I can worship better on a trout stream. You're by yourself, okay? Those trout are not going to build you up. Maybe for a little bit as your story happens. Or you can sit in a tree stand and the birds are singing and the leaves are pretty, but you're all by yourself. And alone time with God is important, but not that cathedral isn't the same as this wonderful little worship space with your brothers and sisters. Calling on the power of prayer and anointing of the saints is being open and vulnerable to one another. If we know what's going on with you, we know how to pray better. If you don't share it with us, we can't pray about it. If you don't share it with us, you're missing out on the force multiplier of corporate prayer. And that's why our sharing time is a significant part of our worship service. Call for the body of Christ to pray for you. Share what new things you've learned. Share your frustrations within reason, okay? You don't have to give all the details. In fact, too much detail is too often too much information. We just need to know that we need to pray for you. Today is a perfect example of the power of prayer, of corporate prayer, as we have ABCers who will be at the four stations around this room, and you can go to them for special prayer and even anointing with oil if you desire that. Yes, he goes on. James says, anoint. In biblical times, olive oil was used for its healing properties. Perhaps you remember that the Good Samaritan treated the wounds of the beaten man that he found along the Jericho road. He treated the wounds with oil and wine. And it's not a bad idea. 10 days ago, I went to the dermatologist. And at like about $120 a burn, he burned off a half dozen or so precancers around the top of my head. It makes me, you know, I walk around and they think, oh, you know, what tree did you walk into or whatever? And he also burned something off right here on the top of my ear. And then his nurse came in and she gave me these little packets of petroleum jelly, which Vaseline is what that is. And I was to put them on those burns beginning the next day. It's grease, okay? Olive oil is grease. That has healing properties. It protects. They knew what they were doing back then. In this case, however, the anointing with oil is symbolic of the power and healing of God. Samuel anointed David with oil to show that he was set apart by God to be the king of his chosen people. It was symbolic. When we anoint with oil, the oil has no power in itself. The power is from God. But the oil is a representation of the healing power of our infinitely powerful God. Most, if not all, of the oil that we use here at our stations is scented. The oil that I often use is from Israel. And it's spikenard. You've heard of nard. I think nard is what what Mary Magdalene put on Jesus' feet. A very expensive perfume in those days. And I think that that smell is a good thing, because as you go from this place and you've been anointed with oil, the aroma of that scented oil will be a reminder of the fact that you have called upon the body of Christ and the all-powerful, healing, great physician God for prayer and healing. We'll think, you know, my sense of smell is almost gone, okay? 10 years ago, I realized I can't smell anything anymore. So I tell people, I haven't smelled good for years. And so it's amazing to me how I can still smell that anointing oil. And so maybe it's pretty pungent. And it will be a pungent reminder for you that you have called upon the body of Christ for prayer. And then it's also healing to confess. Now, I'm going in the order that James has here. And so he has confessed through in the middle of his exposition here. But maybe it should be first, because we should confess first to clear things up with the Lord. Several commentators point out correctly that when James wrote this, it was commonly believed that sin and sickness were directly related to one another. And true, sin sometimes does lead to illness. And there are many ways that can happen. And indeed, illness did enter humanity with Adam's sin in the garden. So there is a connection. John 9 begins with an account of Jesus and his disciples walking past a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not this man that sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Sometimes sickness is just a way for God to be glorified. Think about that. I think of how Ron Graves is there at Brethren Care, and he's declining and he's weak. And we don't want him to be suffering. We don't want him to die. Bonnie doesn't. She doesn't want to say goodbye. We don't want him to hurt. But we think about how God is glorified in Ron. Dale shared the other day of something that this blessing that Ron had given him. Dale, do you have that quote in your mind, or did you have it written down the other night when you shared it with us? I know it's a song. Do you want to? Here's the blessing that Ron gave Dale.
"David, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day."
And that was a witness. And then, you know, Scotty has been a regular pastor of visitation lately, and he went to see Ron, and he comes home on Monday, and he said, Ron prayed for me. Ron prayed for me. And he was just like floating around on cloud nine. And so, we're Christ followers. But how many other people is Ron speaking into as he's dying? So maybe sometimes sickness is just a way for God to be glorified. Now back to the subject of confession. I'm sure you've heard confession is good for the soul. You've heard that. I Googled it, and it seems to derive from an old Scottish proverb, open confession is good for the soul. If you're Scots-Irish like my wife is, you can be proud of all the Scottish things there are. Open confession is good for the soul. And it means that if people come clean regarding anything that they are guilty of, they will feel better about themselves. It's kind of a selfish thing in a way. And that might be, well, it is true. It does help you to feel better. But it's not why we do it. We confess because as we do, we are acknowledging that which we are guilty of. In other words, we are owning our sin. Because God already knows our sin. Further, as we are vulnerable to the body, we are opening ourselves up for their prayer and support. We had a wonderful experience of confession at my previous church that is always in my mind, as Hope, who had come to faith out of atheism. Her family never believed anything, and she had come to faith, and she had had an experience where she lost her cool, and actually the police were called, and she was a poor representation of Jesus, and she, and not that the person that she lost her cool with even knew that, but she got up on Sunday morning and she confessed this to the body of Christ. And it was a powerful experience, because there were some people, one particular old biddy, who was sitting around thinking, well, we need to confront this, because she had seen it in the paper. And before she even had an opportunity to do anything about it, Hope got up and confessed about it. And I'll never, ever forget how Marty, short for Martha, Marty, who was sitting right in front of Hope and didn't really know Hope that particularly well because Hope was relatively new, Marty got up and she turned around and she said, you know what? We've all done things like that. And she just basically offered her forgiveness. You know, it was a powerful experience that still speaks to me now, 25 years later. It was a powerful thing. So as we're vulnerable to our brothers and sisters, we're opening ourselves up to for their prayer and for their support. One writer makes a great point about confession in that a problem shared can be a problem solved. A problem shared can be a problem solved. There's power in numbers, even when it comes to confession. And it also shows our faith as we simply believe, the prayer of a righteous person is taking advantage of their belief in the power of God. James uses the example of Elijah, who he says was somebody just like us. Okay, yes, he was a great prophet. Elijah was a great prophet. okay? And we look at him. He's one of the most famous prophets, because who showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Elijah was one of them, one of the two. But he was just like us. In fact, you know, Elijah did a lot of, he was really into self-pity, and he struggled with depression. And James says that Elijah prayed fervently, just a regular guy, just like us, for it not to rain, and it didn't. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then it says he prayed for it to resume raining, and it did. Elijah was a man of faith who called down fire from heaven upon his sacrifice, and showing that God was the only God, capital G, and that Baal, the small g God that all these hundreds of other prophets were trying to call up, Baal was a fatal mistake, especially for them. Elijah believed. But as I just said, there were times when Elijah's faith faltered, and he needed to be reminded that he wasn't the only godly person, because there's strength in numbers. Now, the response might be that I prayed and I prayed and I prayed to be healed, and God didn't heal me. I believed, and my belief has been rewarded with silence. Think back to the John 9 passage where Jesus referred to the works of God being displayed. Is that what God's doing with you? And what is healing? And what is the healing that God has in store for you? Believe and then watch what God does. Healing is in a variety of ways. It might be your spirit. It might be physically. It might be the eternal healing of being in God's presence. And then we go back, full circle. Pray. We begin with prayer, and we end with prayer. If you are suffering, pray. Elijah prayed, and the rain stopped, and he prayed again, and the rain returned. Call upon the elders and pray. The prayer of the faithful will bring healing. The prayer of the righteous one has great power. So pray, 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 and not just on Healing Prayer Sunday. Let's be people of prayer. Call upon the one who heals. Call upon the one who hears. He prayed then, and he still heals. He healed them then, and he heals us today. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to have a word of prayer, but let me give some instructions. When I'm done the prayer, we are